Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to Fingers on
Buzzers.
That's what this is. Fingers on Buzzers. It's another episode and there's a sort of triumphant feel to this one. Because it's all about the winners.
Champions edition.
Championers. So we've got Asma Mir, who is a brilliant broadcaster and journalist, and also a stunning mastermind celebrity champion.
Brilliant.
She did incredibly well on that. And then we have the winner, the new winner of Brain of Britain.
The current brain. The newly crowned Brain of Britain.
Mr. David Stainer.
He's a big name in the quiz circuit.
Is he? Yes. Tell us about that.
About time he was recognised on a national level.
Well, he did very well and I have listened to the final and I cannot wait to talk to him to get a bit of a sort of playthrough of how he felt and what went on. So that's great. We will also be discussing Quiz in the 1950s.
Of course.
Following on from, which is, it's an exciting decade,
the 50s. I'm getting excited about the info that you're going to spew at us.
You're remembering the movie Quiz Show.
Fondly.
Rafe Fiennes, a lovely Rafe Fiennes. And we have a listener quiz from Ross Quinn.
Ross Quinn quiz.
It's the Quinn quiz. The Quinn quiz coming up later. So that's all to come on Fingers on Buzzers. So, Jen, last week we discussed the 1940s in quizzing, which was kind of the emergence of the television and radio quiz.
It's the development of formats, really.
Yes.
It's working out what the public wanted to get the teeth into. Because I think quizzing was a bit more freeform, I'm guessing, before then.
Yes.
And
so
these were established formats for the question and answer business, including the emergence of the Jeopardy style, as we heard.
As we heard, exactly, that the forerunner of Jeopardy was happening in the 40s. So in the 50s, this is when the formats really started to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
So in the early 50s, particularly on American television, you've got things like 21, The Big Surprise, Dotto, Tic Tac Toe, and, of course, the $64,000 question.
Oh, yeah.
And quiz shows absolutely took the American public by storm. Huge mania for quiz shows in the mid-50s. When the $64,000 question was on, President Eisenhower would leave orders not to be disturbed.
Oh.
People went out to movies and restaurants less, and even the crime stats dipped.
Really?
When the $64,000 question was on, you were wow. less likely to be mugged in downtown New York.
Quiz.
This is the power of quizzing for good.
It made the country a better and safer place, I like to think.
It did, but of briefly. Course, nothing good can last. So, the world of quizzing was rocked by scandal. So, the 1950s is the decade where we realise that, you know, when money becomes involved, quizzing can often go bad. So from bringing down the crime stats, quizzing contributed to crime in its own way, because, as is explored in the movie Quiz Show, which I would beseech you to watch if you've not, Robert Redford directed, at the end of the 1950s, the world of American quiz was rocked by scandals.
Really was.
It really was. In 1956, a man called Charles Van Doren, who was an English tutor at Columbia, met a man at a party who said, I work in TV. You're a sort of intellectual. Yeah. I fancy you for my show. And he wanted him to apply to be on 21. So there was a contestant called Herb Stempel, who was the reigning champion on 21.
Yeah.
And he kept winning. But the viewers didn't really take to Herb, and so they wanted to try and bring someone in who could beat him, someone who the public would take to their hearts. And so they brought in Mr. Van Doren, and they basically they engineered it so that he won, and Herb Stempel agreed to kind of throw the quiz, so the whole thing was rigged. And this, it didn't come out immediately, but a little while later Herb Stempel basically let the cat out of the bag.
Blabbed.
And said, actually, the whole thing was rigged. And this kind of coincided with other scandals. So in May 1958, there was another quiz show called Dotto, and a man named Edward Hilgemeyer Jr. was on the show, and he was just backstage looking around, and he saw a notebook. And he looked in the notebook and saw that it was full of the answers to quiz questions, and realised that those were the very same answers that the contestant on stage, Marie Wynne, was giving at that very moment. So he blew the whistle on that.
Wow.
And then people started to think, hang on a minute, something fishy is going on with quiz. So the New York District Attorney, Joseph Stone, decided to launch an investigation, and he brought in Stempel and Van Doren from 21 to question them about what had happened on 21, and it led to a grand jury trial, which is covered in the movie Quiz Show, and other people came out of the woodwork. So there was another 21 champion called James Snodgrass, and he, when he was booked to appear on the programme, they had coached him and they'd given him answers, and he was a bit like, oh, this could be a bit dodgy. So he had sent himself via registered mail the coaching notes that they'd given him with the answers.
Oh.
So he could prove that he'd had the answers before he appeared on the quiz. So a huge upset, chaos. People were horrified.
People lost their trust in...
They lost their trust in the quiz shows.
They thought it was all above board. And,
and the ratings plummeted. So these once popular shows all suddenly disappeared. So that was that, really, for American TV for a few years. And what really revived the quiz show in America was Jeopardy.
Of course.
Because in 1963, Merv Griffin was talking to his wife and was like, oh, you know, how can we bring back the quiz show? The problem is everyone thinks that people are given the answers. And so his wife went, well, hang on a minute. If they're given the answers...
Give them
the answers, they've got to come up with the questions. And it was enough of a gimmick to kind of turn things around. And I guess the public were sort of hungry again for quizzing.
Yeah.
But Britain had its own version of the scandal. So there was also scandal around quizzing in Britain. So in 1958, ITV pulled its own version of 21 almost immediately after contestant Stanley Armstrong claimed that he had been given definite leads to the answers. So it was going on all over the board. But interestingly, in the UK, it didn't kill off quizzing in the same way. But what it did was it resulted in a winnings cap, which we've discussed before. So the Independent Television Authority put a winning cap in place of £1,000, which was only increased in 1981 to £6,000. Although the British version of the $64,000 question did receive special permission to offer £6,400 when it premiered in 1990.
I did remember that and thinking...
yes. Oh, that extra £400. Yeah, it's going to make a huge difference.
Wowzers.
But then I think, you know, it made a bit of a difference in the way that quiz shows were perceived in America and in the UK. Because, you know, still there was this idea in America where you've got to give big prizes. Mm. Whereas it led to us being happy with a... you know, with a selection of patio furniture or a speedboat if you're really lucky.
A hostess trolley,
a digital clock radio. So I think it did us a lot of favours. There'd be no bullseye without the prize cap, let's face it.
No.
A lot of the things we love about British quizzing is the slightly tacky nature of the prizes. But so that was the 50s. It was, you know, quizzing established itself. A lot of great formats were created, but there was a lot of scandal as well. So an interesting decade for quizzing, I think. So, Jenny, I have some questions from the 1950s.
Wonderful.
The vintage quiz. So these are from the $64,000 question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, they're opera-based.
Ah, perfect.
So, you say that. You've got such a good poker face. I'm not sure whether you're telling the truth. So I'm going to give you a $1,000 question, a $2,000 question, and a $4,000 question.
Okay.
I don't have an actual $64,000 question because I haven't got $64,000.
£6,400 question.
I will give you 64 pence if you get these right. It's the 64 pence question.
Yay.
So for one pence, in what opera? Now, these questions were posed to Marilyn Southern, who was a housewife from Brooklyn.
Oh.
Okay, so just imagine
and obviously she's very keen on opera.
She did very well, actually. So her first question was, in what opera is the old Irish song The Last Rose of Summer sung? I had never heard of either this opera or indeed the composer of
this opera. that's very encouraging.
She got it though.
The Girl of the Golden West.
Yeah, no. It is called Martha. An opera called Martha by Friedrich von Flotow.
Okay.
Yeah, no, fine.
Super famous.
Let's go on to $2,000 question. Das Rheingold by Wagner has one of the most impressive openings in all opera.
Mm-hmm.
As the curtain rises, we discover three Rhine maidens guarding a treasure at the bottom of the river. Name the three supernatural guardians.
Huey, Dewey and Louie.
Yes, correct. No. It is Voglinda, Veligunda and Flosshilda.
Flosshilda,
which is what I'm calling my next child, if I ever have a child.
I just think it's a good name for a dog.
Flosshilda, that will be my next child. When I say, obviously, I'm not going to have any more actual children, but am I?
Or
Veligunda. Veligunda, that's a very good
one. It sounds like very good. Yeah, that's probably why.
So I'm now going to, for the final question, it was $4,000 on the show, but this is your 64 pence question.
Okay.
Okay, for 64 pence.
I don't think, you could have offered me any sum of money, to be honest, and I'm not going to win it.
Even in the 50s, I don't think 64 pence would have got you excited.
No.
But I'm going to name three villains from three well-known operas. You have to tell me the names of the operas. So our first villain is Hagen. In which opera would you find the villain Hagen?
Hagen.
I mean, it's worth a guess.
Does Hagen. The Flying Dutchman.
No. Do you want another guess?
Deflatormouse.
No. It is.
I am naming operas, though.
It's, well, you see, because I know so little about operas, it's Götterdämmerung.
Ah, should have gone for a Wagner.
This part of the ring, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of the ring.
It's in the ring. Okay, the next one is Gessler.
Gessler. How are you spelling that?
Gessler.
Oh,
Gessler.
And that's in an opera, right?
It is in an opera. Shall I tell you who the opera's by?
Yeah, that'll help.
It's a Rossini opera.
The Thieving Magpie.
It's not The Thieving Magpie.
Oh, it's worth a go, though.
It's another one. Do you want me to...
go on, tell us.
No, I'll give you a clue. Shall I stop?
The Lone Ranger musical. William Tell.
William Tell.
Oh, very good, very good.
And finally, Baron Scarpia. Is the villain in which opera?
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Baron Scarpia. I am Baron Scarpia. I am a baddie in an opera. That's how his part goes.
If that was a Gilbert and Sullivan, then you were spot on there. Baron Scarpia.
Do you want me to tell you who it's by?
I'm going to guess it's someone in Italian.
It is, yeah.
It's really narrow. Go on, who's the author?
It is a Puccini.
A Puccini. Is it one of his best known works?
It's, but I'd heard of it.
All right, fair enough. It's not that one, and it's not that one.
One word.
Oh. No.
Tosca.
Tosca. Tosca, yeah.
Tosca the Tosca.
Yeah, she chucks herself off a building.
Yeah, I don't mean that.
Spoilers.
Much anyway, but well, probably Baron Scarpia.
Oh well, yeah, her... I think it's one of those when she was being pursued by Baron Scarpia, and she didn't want to get involved. She loved someone else, and they're all like that, aren't they?
Yeah, where's the happy operas? That's what I want. Good.
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Well, that's
except for the gondoliers. That's miserable. Saddest ending.
It's like the
Omen.
No,
it's the Omen of the Guard is the one with the really sad ending.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to release a big gap in my knowledge. I don't really like Gilbert and Sullivan, to be honest. No, I know. I know. I've just alienated everyone there. I'll just go and sit in a corner.
Well, you just alienated
but nobody. That's the kind of thing. That's the kind of thing they were asking in the 1950s, Jen.
Opera.
Opera. They were all into the madness.
All of the opera.
So join us next week for more of a delve into the history of quizzing. And we'll be into the 1960s.
Some obtuse 60s questions.
There'll be some questions, and then there are reminiscences. Although the 60s, it was a lot about game shows. That was when the game show started to happen, so not so many quiz shows. But some of our absolute favourites started in the 60s. So we shall find out which ones next week.
Yay.
Joining us on the line, we have the current champion of Brain of Britain. Well, the brain. You are the brain. It is the one and only David Stainer. Hello, David.
Hello.
Well, listen, congratulations.
Thank you.
I listened to the episode, to the final of this year's Brain of Britain, and it was nail-biting stuff, and you were magnificent. Are you still walking on air?
Yeah, very much, yes. It was nerve-wracking, is the word, to be honest. I thought that at the half-time I was 4 or 5 points down on the leader, and I thought there was absolutely no way I was going to be winning it. But it just sort of fell for me in the second half a bit more, and I managed to inch past Frankie and managed to win it. And it was my third attempt in the grand final of Brain of Britain, it was a great relief finally to manage to win the thing.
Oh, it was a spectacular win, actually, because as you say, you know, the first couple of rounds there wasn't a lot in it; it seemed to be anyone's game. And then towards the end, you really found your form, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's probably been the case in most of the matches I've played this series, that I've sort of piled on a lot of points towards the end of the game. I don't know why, but
second half
but there
specialist.
You go. Yeah, I certainly wasn't expecting it, though. As I say, I thought I'd blow my chances in the first half when the opposition were all getting lots more answers than I was.
And you did have some very difficult questions. There was one which was it was about armour. And it was which part of the body does... I can't even remember what the name of the thing was now. I'd have to look it up. But it was there was a piece of armour that protects a certain part of the body. And you sadly went for... Which I thought was a brilliant answer. You said... Can you remember the name of what it was? Is it going to haunt you forever?
I can't remember exactly. It was something that sounded a bit like... Pollocks, didn't it? Because I thought the Pollocks is a name for a scientific name for the thumb. So I thought, well, maybe there's some linkage there. And I said the thumb, although I didn't think that sounded very plausible. But then I think Roger got it without seeming to have to think about it. He got some excellent answers, as of course did Frankie. He was absolutely outstanding, and I felt actually quite bad to beat her when she played. I think it was a Pollyn, wasn't it?
Pollyn, P-O-L-E-Y-N. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, so I sort of thought, oh, it sounds a bit like Pollux. Maybe I should go for thumb. It's not really my special subject, suit of armour. So,
oh, it's such... I mean, it's absolutely the kind of thing that people would parody about quizzing, isn't it? Like, you know, people going, oh, you expect to know what bit of armour covers the knee, you know, and it's absolutely right. That is what you need to know. To be the Brain of Britain champion, you need to know that kind of thing.
I think there is something quite old school about Brain of Britain in that way. I think it's probably, of all the major quiz shows, it's fondest of the historic quiz syllabus, shall we say. Luckily, I'm not too bad on it, but I think it probably does put off a few players from applying, because you do get questions about some fairly old school topics like that.
Well, they're another one they tripped you up on.
I love it as a show.
I love it as well. I mean, but yeah, they do have some more modern questions, because there was another one which was musicals. And I felt for you. See, this was still at the point where I'm thinking, oh, you know, how's he going to do? And the musicals, it was, I think your guess was Legally Blonde. And it turned out to be Calendar Girls.
Oh.
Yeah. Really good answer from Frankie there.
That was a really good answer.
Didn't have a clue. I didn't. She obviously knew it.
I know. Someone else said Frozen. There were a lot of good guesses. But that was, so at that point I'm listening to it and I'm thinking, and even though I knew you'd won because I was listening to it in the knowledge that you'd won, but even so I was thinking, oh, come on, David, come on, you can do it. And then you absolutely turned it around. And there was now the lightest halogen. They said, which element is the lightest halogen? And you got it, but you sounded hesitant. So tell us the correct answer, and was it a guess?
Well, the correct answer was fluorine. It wasn't a guess. I guess, like a lot of my answers in quizzes, I had a sort of instinctive feeling it was fluorine, probably from the last time that I'd looked at the periodic table. And I must admit, rather sadly, I did... work my way through a Dorling Kindersley book about chemical elements.
That's not sad.
Just recently. So I had it sort of dimly in mind, but I wasn't absolutely certain. I think unless you're very keen on the topic or the question's really easy, it's very difficult to be absolutely certain on things. So I probably often sound slightly doubtful.
Yes, but then that's quite endearing, I think. You didn't sound cocky.
Well, there's certainly no... I mean, I think quizzes are a great thing for conquering any temptation to be cocky, because it's so very good at reminding you of stuff you don't know and how much there is to know.
Isn't it,
and
though?
How good other people are.
Isn't it? Well, other people are very good, but you, sir, are the Brain of Britain, so let's not take that away for a second.
No.
I hope you've had some kind of special T-shirt and hat made. Do they give you a crown? Is there any kind of...
a tiara and a sash
would be good.
It's a very nice trophy. It's a kind of silver plate. I'm not sure whether it's actual silver or not, but it's very nice, engraved with my name and everything like that. So it's got pride of place, forgive me, in the living room.
Oh, nice.
At the moment. And, you know, I mean, I guess I'm used to prestigious quiz events having little in the way of prizes, because that tends to be the way our hobby is conducted. it wasn't an issue for me. It's certainly a very nice trophy, and I'm obviously delighted by the, claiming a big title and that kind of thing.
Yes. So, and what number, do you know what number you are?
That's a really good question. I think they might have said 66, but I'm not.
Yeah.
He did actually. I was amazed at how long it's been going for. Really, as a show, it's an absolute institution, I guess. But I think the suggestion was 66.
It goes,
yeah,
it goes back to the 50s originally, because we've been doing our history of quizzing,
yes,
on the show, and goes way back to sort of the earliest time of developing a quiz show format, and it's such a classic.
Yes, yes,
that it's,
yes.
It, we've stuck with it. Very little has changed about it.
Mm. Well, in one form or another, it's been around since 1953. It was a slot in What Do You Know? And then it became a programme in its own right in 1967. So
it's amazing that it hasn't had any break in that time, isn't it? Because a lot of these very long-running quiz shows, University Challenge or Mastermind, 15 to 1, they sort of fall out of fashion at some point, don't they, and go off.
Mm.
And then, you know, maybe are brought back after a break. But I don't think the Brain of Britain has had any break during that period.
No.
So, you know, it's
I'm looking through, you see. I think 2008, there doesn't appear to have been a Brain of Britain champion. So we'll find out what happened there.
It's funny, isn't it? I wonder why that is.
Well, I'm looking at Wikipedia, though, so it might just be wrong. It may simply just be wrong. But David Martin Dakin, back in 1954, was the first Brain of Britain. And you are the latest one. So David Martin Dakin is probably looking down. I mean, he might still be alive. If he is, hello.
Right here, yeah.
If not, then he's looking down and smiling, yeah,
actually,
I'm sure.
It's probably unlikely he'd be alive, assuming that the average quiz player was probably then as now into their 40s or so. He'd probably be well over 100 if he was still alive.
So. Quizzing keeps you young, though.
It would be great if he was listening and wrote into you guys.
Yeah, get in touch, David Martin Dakin, if you're there. Or, I mean, any other winners, if they want to. I mean, I don't know if it's like winning the lottery, if it ruins your life. I mean, we might get ex-Brains of Britain writing in saying, oh, nothing was ever the same. It went to my head. That trophy was... I suspect you'll be fine. Do you know any of the other winners?
I'm left with a sort of vague feeling as to what media quiz I should be aiming at next. I must admit, I don't have a pretty inglorious record for my one appearance on Mastermind. I went out in the first round.
Oh,
so I suppose that's something to consider. But it does take a lot of work in a way that Brain of Britain doesn't, because you've obviously got to prepare for a specialist subject on Mastermind. And I'm naturally someone who shies away from that kind of formal revision program, as it were.
And well, do you know what, if you're someone who doesn't like to prepare, you're very welcome on this show, because that's very much our attitude, is let's just wing it and see how it goes.
Well, there's a distinction, isn't there, between generally sort of doing lots of quizzes and reading lots of books on general topics to having to learn the name of some minor character on page, 163 of Pride and Prejudice or something.
Yes.
I don't really like having to learn that kind of boring detail that only ever comes up in the specialist subject round the Mastermind.
Yes.
So, I don't know, really. Probably won't go for that, but I'll have to think of something, won't I?
Well, I'm always looking for a companion for Pointless, so,
Lucy's literally now tapping up everybody who comes on this show.
I'm like, I do need, would you fancy Pointless, David, if I could, swing that we could partner up for Pointless?
I'd love to go on Pointless, to be
honest.
Nice. I think I did apply with my wife early on, and we definitely went and did an audition and had great fun, but never heard back.
Wow.
But yeah, I do think it's a brilliant show, brilliant concept, fantastic.
Other quiz shows are available.
Yeah, obviously.
The Chase.
Of course.
That's my other favourite.
Yes, yes.
That I've never been on either, but then I think I know...
You'd be struggling,
yeah.
I think probably I wouldn't be allowed on that one, but Pointless does seem more achievable.
Yes.
I'd love to go on it.
Great. Well, I am in awe of your quizzing genius.
We all are.
And we look forward to seeing what happens next to the
Brain of Britain.
Oh,
it's very kind of you to say so.
Now, thank you so much for talking to us. Brain of Britain, David Stainer.
Woo!
Champion!
Thank you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, it is now time for the listener quiz.
Listener quiz time.
I love it. Listener quiz. And today it's been sent in by Ross Quinn. Now, Ross has, I believe, Amanda, the producer, I believe that Ross has been incredibly generous with his questions and given us not one but two quizzes.
Yeah, he's given us 10 questions, so I think to get as much out of Ross as we possibly
can. Well, we can say Ross Quinn over and over again.
Yeah.
Ross Quinn quiz. Quinn quiz.
Quinn quiz. Yeah, fair enough.
Dr. Ross quiz medic... No. So... yes, so I think if we split this into two, we'll have the first half today. In the next couple of weeks, we'll have part two. And it's a really fun one. I'm really pleased that we can spread this over a couple of weeks because it's song lyrics.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's come on.
So
that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's 80s, then I'm supremely confident. My friend Joe and I... I mean, all we ever really... We don't even know each other that well because all we ever do is swap 80s song lyrics. It's like we've been friends for years, but we've only communicated through the medium of 80s song lyrics. I know she's never going to give me up. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Thanks, Ross Quinn.
Question number one. In the song Girls and Boys by Blur, which Mediterranean holiday island destination is mentioned?
Oh, Baz... I'm going to say... I want to say Corfu. No.
I'm trying to work through the lyrics.
Down to Greece.
On holiday. Day.
You just said it.
Oh, it's Greece. Oh, it's Greece.
Which Mediterranean holiday destination is mentioned?
Oh, I was trying to think of an island.
No, I thought exactly.
Yeah,
I was thinking
later in the...
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Following the crowds down to Greece or whatever it is.
It's following the herd down to Greece. On holiday. Stand by your buzzers, because I think you're both going to get this one.
Okay.
Can you name the American actress referred to in the Wham song, Wake Me Up Before You
Lucy.
Go? Oh, I think you were just in there, Jenny.
Doris Day.
It is Doris Day. You make the sunshine brighter than Doris Day.
Clearance.
I think you find it was less than 10 seconds.
I was going to say, that's just enough.
Question number three. Suggs from Madness likes driving in my car, apparently, but what nationality is the bloke that sells him a car?
From Brazil. Oh, Lucy Porter. Lucy, hello. Bab. That's my buzzer. He got it in Muswell Hill from a bloke from Brazil, is the correct.
You are correct.
But rhyme it was, in there as
but
well.
It was Primrose Hill.
Oh, it's Primrose Hill. Yeah, of course it is. Oh,
but dear. Okay.
Sounds the same, though. Primrose Muswell.
So that's 2-1.
I mean, it'd be hard to sell a car in Primrose Hill because it's, you know, it probably costs more. Anyway, I'll shut up. There you go. Right, yes.
So, question number four. Which two politicians are named in the song Killer Queen by Queen?
Buzz.
Jenny.
Oh, God. Sorry, I completely blanked there.
I don't even know it, so you can take your time. I'm going to go through.
Kennedy.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Khrushchev, Brezhnev.
Khrushchev and Kennedy.
Yeah. I think you both get a point for that.
Lovely. But I was guessing.
Were you?
I don't really know the lyrics to Killer Queen, I don't
know.
The last one for today. In the song Up the Junction by Squeeze, at what time is the baby born?
Oh, this morning. Oh.
4:30.
No.
No?
This morning at 4:50.
4:50.
This morning at 3:50. 2:50.
No, this morning at 4:50, I took a rather nifty down to an incubator.
Where 30 minutes later. It was a maths question all along.
So what time was the baby born?
5:20.
Correct.
Oh,
wow. Wow.
I tell you what, Ross Quinn, done a genius job there.
That's, love it.
I love that listener quiz, Ross
Feeling
Quinn.
Quite bamboozled.
The Quinn quiz was
Quinn
very good.
Quiz. Looking
very
forward good. To another five questions.
Yeah,
from
I'd
Ross.
Like to do it now, to be honest, but we can't.
Amanda says not allowed.
Don't lie, hate her.
You can't have all your treats at once.
No, you can't. But thank you very much, Ross Quinn, for sending that in. And anybody else who wants to send in a lyrics quiz, feel free.
Or any kind of quiz.
Or any kind of quiz, but
yeah, football
lyrics.
Quiz or something.
Just lyrics, no football.
Opera.
No opera. Okay, now I am lucky enough to be speaking to the broadcaster and journalist, Asma Mir. Now, I didn't know. I do another podcast with Asma. We do a podcast for Mumsnet called Am I Being Unreasonable? And throughout this, I didn't realise that I was sitting across the table from another Mastermind champion.
I mean, yes, but yes. There were a lot of champions. There've been a lot of champions.
Well, there have, but Asma, let's just go through.
Oh God!
What you achieved? So we're going back to January 2015. This was the broadcast date. You presumably recorded it before that, but it was episode 8 in series 13, unlucky series 13 of Mastermind, the cursed series. of Celebrity Mastermind, as everyone knows it. So. Now, tell us about it. I have here a list of who you were up against. Can you remember?
You know what? I can remember some of them. Can I just say before all of this, right? It was recorded in November.
Okay.
And I was 1 month pregnant.
Oh.
And I was shitting myself for all sorts of reasons.
As you right? do when you're 1 month pregnant. Yeah.
And I was like, my stomach had started to inflate, but I didn't want anyone to know. So I was trying to hold my stomach in.
Oh no. So you weren't even fully concentrating.
I really wasn't concentrating. And so when I watched it back, I was like really breathless.
Oh,
and I looked like
gosh.
A loon. But basically, that's why. Anyway, what was the question again?
Well, we were going to move on
who
to
else
who
was
else
I
was on,
with?
But I love the fact you've given us the context. Aww. Because people never
I'm making my excuses
when
quickly,
they watch you on
I?
Television. Well, you know, I've already said that you won. I've spoiled that particular aspect of it. But
so Ben Bailey-Smith was on.
He was.
And he was lovely, but he really wanted to win.
Did he? Well, he comedian. I mean, he's a rapper. He's a comedian. He does.
He's
lots
a great
of
guy.
He is a great man. But yes, I mean, all comedians are desperately competitive.
Who was Gethin Jones on?
He was.
And then there was that guy, the actor from Neighbours.
Yep.
Mrs. Mangle's son.
Do you want me to leave you hanging for a bit and
Mark. I was pregnant. I don't remember.
Mark
that's
Little,
my excuse.
Mark Little.
That's it.
Yes.
They were lovely.
They were.
I was the only lady.
And can you remember what your specialist subject was?
I do remember it because, I mean, what was I thinking? Anyway.
Remember what anyone else's specialist subjects were, actually?
That's a good.
Because it's always interesting, isn't it? Because you don't know until you turn up.
Yeah.
Because people always say, oh, do you know beforehand? No, you turn up. You know what you're doing, but you don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. My special subject was the novels of Hanif Qureshi. The reason being that I didn't want to make an arse of myself on national telly. I wasn't bothered about winning or losing or whatever. I just didn't want to make an arse of myself. And it's a scary thing, Mastermind, isn't it?
It is.
John Humphrey's kind of staring at you. Love you, John. And so I wanted to choose something that was kind of finite. So I thought, okay, so it's 7 specific books. If I read the 7 books and make a few notes, then it won't be a disaster. Whereas if I had said, you know, something that I love, like, oh, the history of Celtic Football Club, I would have got something wrong, and then everyone would have said, well, you're not a proper Celtic fan, are you?
Oh, you'd be an absolute lunatic
exactly.
to do Celtic.
Yeah.
Anything to
so you
do.
Don't actually do your favourite thing in life.
No.
You should do something that you think you can revise. I know that sounds so clinical.
You're making it sound like you've
true.
Got that you really don't like the novels of Hanif Qureshi.
Oh,
you just chose it,
well, the thing is, most of them I did, but I hadn't read them all. Yes. So I had to read a few. And they were not all as good as each other.
Okay.
There are some fantastic ones.
You're bound to have your favourites.
Yeah,
aren't you?
Exactly.
So can you remember what the other contestants were doing?
I seem to remember that Ben Bailey-Smith was something to do with the Marx Brothers.
It was the films of the Marx Brothers. Oh. So similarly, so you very cleverly, the wording of the Mastermind Specialist subject, so it was quite interesting because if you'd said the life and works of Hanif Qureshi,
oh, no.
then you would have had more to do. And in similar way, if he'd said the life and work of the Marx Brothers, but he's the films of the Marx Brothers. There are still more films of the Marx Brothers than novels by Hanif Qureshi. But
So what are you trying to say there, Lucy?
I'm not saying anything, Asma. I'm not trying to say that your subject was easier. I'm just leaving it out there for the listeners to.
It's his fault. He chose that.
So Mark Little, who is a lovely comic, brilliant man. He chose. Can you remember what he chose?
No,
he went for another author.
I was pregnant. Have I reminded? Have I mentioned that yet?
Yes. He didn't word his topic carefully enough.
Oh, no.
He just went for Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, God.
And let's be honest, if you're looking at Hunter S. Thompson, you go, well, the works of Hunter S. Thompson would be quite easy, but the life of Hunter S. Thompson, imagine how much crazy stuff you have to...
Exactly.
I mean, you know, in which bush did he wake up? Which creature did he hallucinate that he was? I mean, that is kind of... And then Gethin Jones.
I bet it was something sporty. Gethin Jones, I love him. Just thinking about him and hearing his name, I want to cuddle him.
He is lovely, cuddly Welshman. But he did the thing that you didn't do, which is he did go for sport and he went for Welsh international rugby.
Oh, no. Why did he do that? He probably did really well. But first of all, he's doing that patriotic thing, which I get, right?
Yes,
totally
yes,
being
yes.
a Scot. And he's doing his job. No, you don't do that.
And it was only 2000 to 2010, though.
Oh.
Which I sort of feel like if you're going to do Welsh international rugby,
you got to do
10 years of it.
I want a century at least.
Exactly. But so the placings were poor Mark Little, having chosen Crazy Hunter S. Thompson, came in fourth place.
Oh, bless him.
Gethin was third place. Ben Bailey-Smith, with the films of the Marx Brothers, was in second. Mm. But the winner, John Humphreys. Announce the name of the winner. It's Asma Mir.
Woohoo!
So do you remember if you were you in the lead going into the general knowledge? Do you remember? I mean, I know you were pregnant, so this is probably...
Was I in the lead going into the general knowledge?
Did you have a good general knowledge anyway?
I don't know.
We're going to watch it back.
It was
so long ago. Tell you what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
After this interview, I'm going to go and watch it. And then I'm going to do a play-by-play.
Oh, stop
and
it.
Go through
you
it,
are not.
And then give you my verdict.
You know what my approach was, by the way? I had watched a few and I realised that if it's a tie, if you've passed on stuff, then I can't explain it. But anyway, don't pass. Just don't pass. So even if you don't know the answer, say something, which of course, you know, you're going to say something stupid, aren't you? And I know I answered the question. I don't know what the question was, but I answered it Queensland. In Australia, and like someone was ridiculing me about it on Twitter 6 months later, and I was just like, I don't care. I wanted to say something.
Yes,
I mean, the answer was something to do with Australia, but it wasn't Queensland because Queensland's a state.
But better to be quick and wrong
than
to take ages and then pass.
This is my mantra in life.
Yes, better to be quick and wrong. So Hanif Qureshi, so how do you think you would do if I were to give you a quiz, say now, about the novels of
I would
Qureshi?
Have to kill you.
In what year was The Buddha of Suburbia released?
I don't know.
She was pregnant. She's retained nothing. It was 1990.
Are these actual questions? Same questions?
No, these are just questions I've made up.
Oh, that's not fair.
I've just made up some questions. Well, I want to see, because I do think it's like cramming for an exam. Because I did exactly the same. I did Steve Martin.
You know everything on day one.
Yeah.
The day after, you know nothing. Go on then.
Okay.
It's going to be a zero, isn't it?
Okay. Oh, no, I was going to ask you a question about a film adaptation. But, of course, you didn't. You didn't do.
That wasn't in the brief.
No. In Gabriel's Gift.
Oh, no, I hated that book.
What is the name of Gabriel's father?
Mr. Gabriel?
Mr. Gabriel.
I don't know.
Rex Bunch.
course it is.
Rex Bunch.
I knew that. I just wanted to hear you say it.
Okay. Do you know the name of Gabriel's mother?
Nope.
No. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We'll move on.
I didn't like that one.
Didn't like that one. Okay. Let me pick one that you did like. Okay. Let's go back.
Oh, God.
To,
they're going to take the trophy off me.
They are. They can do that. They can.
They can't because I've swallowed it.
Retrospectively. Okay. In The Buddha of Suburbia, yeah. Kareem introduces himself as follows. My name is Kareem Amir and I am an Englishman born and bred blank. What's the blank word there?
Born and bred. Don't know.
The missing word was almost. I'm an Englishman born and bred.
Oh,
almost.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a really good book. Can I just say, I love that book. I haven't read it since 2014, though.
No, well, fair enough. Shall I give
I've
you
also
one
had
more?
A baby. Have I mentioned that?
You did sort of allude to that. Yeah, you did just slightly. Okay, I'll give you
I've
one
had
more.
No sleep since 2015.
Can you name any of the other stories in The Body?
What's The Body?
The Body is a collection of short stories.
Ah, I didn't do short stories.
Oh, okay.
I only did novels.
The
so
novels.
I have to take 10 points off.
I've just
for
exactly.
That.
You were so careful with the wording. You were so careful. Jamal Khan is the protagonist of which book?
Can you give me some choices?
Is it A, Something to Tell You, or B, The Buddha of Suburbia?
I think it's Something to Tell You.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, but she still got it. Well
one point.
Done.
Woohoo!
As Mamir, you scored 1 point. Let's hope you do very well in your general knowledge round. Anyway, we're not going to do that to you, but thank you very much for sharing your experiences.
I feel like a fraud. Well, thank you, Lucy.
I feel what we've done here is we have unmasked you as a fraud. And Gethin Jones will be listening to this going, oh, bloody hell. I could have beaten her. That's not an accent that anyone wants to hear, is it? That Welsh accent. Ben Bailey Smith will go, oh, bloody hell. He doesn't even sound like that. Who
he'll
else
be,
wants to?
He'll be
Mark
around
Little,
my house.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, mate. Oh, Struth.
Oh, rack off.
Oh, rack off, mate. I could have beaten her with my Hunter S. Thompson. No, terrible accents are my speciality. Right. Thank you so much, Asma Mir, mastermind champion under false pretenses. Well, there we go. That is another episode of Fingers on Buzzers. And thank you so much to our guests. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, guys.
That was Fingers on Buzzers. Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.